said. He said, there is rejoicing. He said, rejoice with me. And that threefold parable there in Luke chapter 15 about the sheep and the coins that are lost and the son that comes home. Hey, there's rejoicing. And hey, if somebody gets saved, you and I ought to rejoice. Amen. We ought to be glad for them and thankful. I want you to take your Bibles this morning, just for a few moments, if you would. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 13. Jeremiah in your Old Testament. Amen. Jeremiah chapter number 13. And Jeremiah, you know, we call him the weeping prophet. We talk about him as far as the type ministry that he had. God called him into his ministry. God blessed him in his ministry, and it was not just that everybody loved him and everybody made him a popular preacher and all that, but God blessed what he did with the writing for me and for you. The country, he was coming to his own people, to the people of Israel, and they hated him, and they didn't like what he had to say. And they said, you don't prophesy good. We don't like what you've got to say. But God told him, he said, they'll harden their hearts and their faces toward you, but I'll make your face harder than theirs. I'll give you the ability to go ahead and preach and take what they've got to throw back at you, and I'll enable you to go ahead and get through those things, even though they don't like it, they won't appreciate it, they don't even want to have it, but I'm going to make sure that word gets published. Well, look in chapter number 13, if you will, with me, and there's a few things going on, but I want us to jump down, if you will, to verse number 15. Now, God always used Jeremiah in some unusual ways, and if you want to look at the linen girdle that he talks about there in chapter number 13, first few verses, about wearing this girdle and digging a hole and putting it in it and digging it up and putting it on later and all that. You can read that. But I want us to jump down to verse number 15. It says, hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God, because he caused darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountain, and while you look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. But if ye will not hear, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Say unto the king and to the queen, humble yourselves, sit down, for your principality shall come down, even the crown of your glory. The cities of the south shall be shut up, and none shall open them. Judah shall be carried away captive, all of it. It shall be wholly carried away captive. Lift up your eyes and behold them that come from the north. Where is the flock that was given thee, thy beautiful flock? What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? For thou hast taught them to be captains, and as a chief over them, shall not sorrows take thee as a woman in travail? And if thou say in thine heart, wherefore comest these things upon me? For the greatness of thine iniquity are thy skirts discovered, and thy heels made bare. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Therefore will I scatter them as the stubble that passeth away by the wind of the wilderness. This is my lot, this is thy lot, the portion of thy measures from me, saith the Lord. Because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood, therefore will I discover thy skirts upon thy face, that thy shame may appear. I have seen thy adulteries and thy neighings, the lewdness of thy whoredoms, and thine abominations on the hills and in the fields. Woe unto thee, O Jerusalem! Wilt thou not be made clean? When shall it once be? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for the morning. Thank you again for the good time of fellowship, the good songs that we've enjoyed, and the good worship. I pray now, Lord, add your blessing, touch the word of God, speak to our hearts, give us direction and wisdom in what we say, and we'll thank you again for everything that you do for us. We love you today in Jesus' name. I pray, save the lost. Speak to that one that needs you this morning. Again, in Christ's name, amen and amen. Amen. I want you to look with me, if you will, particularly at verse number 23. Verse number 23 says this, can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spot. Isn't it interesting, so many times in the Bible, when the Lord begins to state some things, that he uses questions to do that stating. And, you know, most of the time when some of these things are said, as far as a question, the answer is rather obvious. The answer is almost rhetorical, as, I mean, you know the answer to what the question that has been asked. You understand what the Lord is saying through that. But the Lord has used Jeremiah, and Jeremiah has tried to point out to the whole nation of Israel, to the northern side and to the southern. That's why you see a mention here of Judah and Israel. He's preaching to the whole nation, and in that, he's trying to get them to see who they are. He's trying to get them to see that they are far from the Lord. And if you go back in the beginning of it, you see that the Lord tells them that they've committed some evil, some iniquities. He said, you've committed sins. And he said, and you've left me, the fountain of living waters, and you've hewn you out some cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. That's been the message throughout all the preaching that Jeremiah does, is that he's trying to get Israel to turn to God, and if not, then realize that captivity is on your horizon. And that's been pretty much the message for the whole thing. And you know what? Jeremiah's not the only one that does this. There are some of the other prophets, some of the things you'll read in the Old Testament. And, of course, you can read some in Isaiah and Ezekiel and some of the other majors and then some of the minor prophets, same type thing. God's trying to warn them, hey, your sin is going to get you in trouble. And that's the message. And guess what? It's the same message we got today. Your sin will get you in trouble. But I like the question that the Lord asks, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then listen to this, I don't know, almost a response that seems a little bit of a snide comment. Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. He says, look, can an Ethiopian, and we know Ethiopian people have dark black skin generally. He said, can he change his skin color? Can a leopard remove those spots from his coat and change his appearance? He said, well, if you can, then why don't you get with it? Amen? And that's what I want to preach to you about this morning, is here's the tough question. Do you have an answer? Do you have an answer? Let's look at what the Bible says to us here this morning. There's a tough question. Can you change? In other words, can you straighten yourself out? Can you save yourself in the situation that you're in right now? Can you change what's going on in your life and do it by yourself? You know, there's a lot of folks today. I guarantee you can go into any bookstore you want to go into nowadays, and as you look on them, you'll see volume after volume after volume of books that we call self-help books. Oh, here's how to be a better person. Here's how to be a better husband. How to be a better wife. How to be a better kid. How to be a better student. I mean, anything you want to pick. There's a book out there that says, here's how you can be better. It's even gotten into our Christian circles. Oh, how you can live your best life now. How you can be a better man for this and that. Now, brother, let me tell you something. There is nothing in this world that any of us can do to make ourselves better. And that's the point, as I say. That's the issue that is here. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah says this as he's saying that. He said, can an Ethiopian change his skin? Can a leopard change his spot? He said, then if you can, may ye also do good. He said, but you're just simply accustomed to doing evil. So let's look at that and think about it, if you will, just a couple of things this morning on that. First of all, let me just tell you this. The answer is no. None of those things can change. And let me tell you why. Let's look at kind of the why this morning. First of all, I want you to understand part of that answer and why is because you do not have the sense to change yourself. Did you know you don't have the sins? And that's not a smart aleck remark to you, or that's not something to, you know, kind of make fun of you or make light of any of us, because none of us have that sense to be able to change our sins. And we can't make ourselves clean and pure and white by ourselves. There's only one way to do that. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But can I tell you, first of all, you can't change. You can't make anything different in your life. It won't change because, first of all, you don't have the sense to do that change. And what I mean by that is, first of all, you have no real sense of direction. You and I, as humans, we have no sense of direction. Do you realize that? Hey, I'm telling you, left alone, you leave a man alone, and his sense of direction says head toward what's sinful. I mean, anybody in this room, I don't care who you are, buddy, we can turn them up. I've seen some high-class folks, but you know what they were? They were just high-class sinners. Amen? I've seen them where, oh, they dressed fine, had college educations. They were men of worldly respect and worldly renown. But can I tell you, they're just a high-class sinner, thank God. I've seen some down in the lower classes that were drunks in the alley and drug addicts on the street and all kinds of messes in their life, and they were simply down there, maybe in a different social place, but they're still a sinner headed for hell. Both of them going to the same place. One of them just dressed up a little nicer than the other. Amen? I'm just telling you, we have no sense of direction. It's just not, because you are fleshly driven in your sense of direction without something coming in and making an intervention, without the Lord coming in and changing your life. Your sense of direction is fleshly driven. Now, if you want to see what fleshly driven is, turn on the news any night. Turn on the news. I mean, pick up a newspaper or get on your phone and start looking at a news feed, and you'll see what a fleshly directed life looks like. Amen? Can I tell you? Hey, a fleshly directed life, as a matter of fact, it begins way back in your Bible when Satan came and began to tempt Eve and said some things to her about, there's this tree, here's this fruit, it sure does look good, why don't you go ahead and get it? Well, God said, "We can't." Oh, surely you'll not die. Did God really say that? Is that what? And you know what? When your flesh takes over, when you've got the chance to choose, you'll go wrong every time. Your flesh, your fleshly driven self is going in the wrong direction. I mean, there is not a one of us in here that are directed in the way of godly things. I mean, the Bible tells us, Isaiah writes, and says that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Oh, preacher, I'm trying to do better. You ever see people try to do better? And they've turned over a new leaf, and they've turned over a new leaf, and they turned over another leaf. Pretty soon they got a pile of leaves, but they're still headed for the same hell that they started out in. Amen? I'm just telling you, our sense, you don't have a sense of direction that is going in the right place. Not only do you not have a sense of direction, I want to tell you, you don't have the right sense of devotion. You love the wrong thing. Now, I'm telling you, even as you read what Paul has written in chapter number 7 in the book of Romans, and he's talking about even as a person that's supposed to know the Lord, supposed to, you know, and he says, when evil's always present, and when evil is present, he said, those things that I ought to do, I don't do them. And those things that I shouldn't do, that's what I wind up doing. I mean, I'm just all messed up. I don't know what to do. And you know what? It's because, you know what the Bible tells us in John chapter number 1? It said that men wouldn't come to the Lord because they loved darkness and their deeds were evil. Can I tell you, that is our sense of devotion. I mean, we love the darkness. This world stands and sits and is covered in darkness today because that's what the devil wants. And the devil just gets a thrill out of seeing folks ruin their lives and mess up everything that they are and everything that they can be, and their sense of devotion is gone. You don't love. Can I tell you, there's nobody in this room without having Christ here. There's nobody that loves the Lord. I don't care who you are, you can't say that. Amen? You cannot say that you love Jesus. You cannot say that you love His Word. You cannot say that you love His way. You can't say you love the Bible. You can't say you love anything about it without Him being in your life. Your sense of devotion is gone out the window. Now, how do you know that, preacher? Well, because I'm telling you, as I say, left alone, your sense of direction will tell us about your sense of devotion. And your sense of direction says, I want to get over here and get into this. I want to go over here and get into the smut corner. I want to go over here and get into the hell hole. I want to go over here and get into the drinking and the cussing and all the carousing and all the stuff of this. I want to go. Can I tell you, it's not those things that will send a man to hell. It's what's inside of him that he loves and why he loves it. Because of that nature that is in every one of us. And your sense of devotion, hey, Jesus told those that were out there with Him when they were accusing Him of different things and calling Him, that Brother Sprayberry was talking about how they said He had a devil and how all this. Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. And He said, and those things that your father, that's what you're going to do. That's what you're going to do. And you know what? Nobody likes to be told that, do they? But let me just tell you something. If you're doing the things of the devil, if you're doing the things that are satanically inspired, if you're doing those things, you know, there's been a big question here over the last week or two, and people talk about, well, Ozzy Osbourne, you know, was Ozzy Osbourne. Can I tell you something? Ozzy Osbourne stood before God one day. And let me just say, I don't know. But I'm telling you, hey, so the fruit inspectors get out, and it's pretty tough sometimes to find stuff. It says he, you know, that his life was directed toward the thing of God. Can I tell you, let nobody make any mistake about your life. Show them where your sense of devotion really lies. Love the Lord, love His Word, love His people, love His thing, and get out of everything else. Amen. And you know what? There won't be no question about it. There will be no question about it when it comes time for those folks to look on you and say, well, I wonder if he's in heaven or in hell. Amen? Right. Hey, I'm just telling you, we have no sense. We have no sense of direction. We have no sense of devotion. Let me just tell you this. We have no sense of duty. We have no sense of duty. I mean, the Bible tells us there's none good, no, not one. There's not a person in this room that wants to follow and do the will of God outside of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord. I mean, your duty, your sense of duty is toward old number one. And when your sense of duty gets turned on yourself, and you think about how I can please me more than anything else, then brother, you need to look long and hard at the things that are going on in your life and see that your sense of duty, if you're saved, ought to be toward the Lord. Hey, Paul writes again in Romans in chapter number 3. He talks about how there's none righteous. No, not one. There's none that follows after God. There is nobody that is trying to go that direction until Jesus comes in and makes a difference. Son, you're headed down the same road as everybody else. Jesus said there's two ways in this life. He said there is a broad way which leads to destruction, and there is a narrow path which leads to life everlasting. Which path are you on? Amen. Which road you taking today? Are you on that road? Hey, your sense of duty. Do you know that when you get saved, your sense of duty changes? Paul said, I was religious before Christ came in. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. I was educated at the feet of Gamaliel. I was following all the tenets of our religion, but I didn't know Jesus. Amen. Oh, his sense of duty was toward every bit of that. But when he got a change in his life, his sense of duty changed. You go back and read, and you'll see what Paul's sense of duty was. In the beginning of every one of the epistles, nearly, Paul says, Paul, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, that word servant really is a word doulos, which means a bond slave. In other words, he said, I'm a slave to Jesus, and I don't mind my master. I'm here to do his duty. I'm here to do his will. I'm here to fulfill his purposes with my life. Brother, can I tell you, you can't change your life and your spots and your skin color at all because, first of all, you don't have the sense to do it. Second of all, let me tell you this. You can't change anything because you don't have the strength to change yourself. Realize that There is a weakness in this flesh. Your flesh is like my flesh and like all the other flesh in this room. It is weak. It's weak. You ever see people, I've heard them too. You know, it's like the old story about the guy. I've seen some of them, they say, well, you know, somebody talked to him about quitting smoking. Well, I can quit anytime I want to. Well, I quit last year for 2 months. Yeah, but you know what? Picked it back up again. What do you say? I'm saying these bodies of flesh are weak. Oh, I can quit drinking anytime I want to. Amen? Huh? Let me just tell you, brother, when you realize where you're at, you'll understand that, hey, you're weak in this flesh. And Paul discovered that. Paul talked about how that he had a thorn that was put in his flesh. I mean, there's folks that's got thorns in their flesh. Now, you know, they said maybe Paul's was his vision or his eyes, it was a problem to him, whatever it was, we don't know. But Paul said that he prayed and asked the Lord to remove that thorn. And he said, God told him, not going to do it. He said, my strength, God's strength, the Lord was saying, is made perfect in your weakness. So can I tell you, we're weak. I mean, you've got to realize you do not have the strength within yourself to change. Now, you know, every once in a while you might see somebody say, oh, well, preacher, I've overcome, you know, my drug habit, or I've overcome my gambling addiction, or whatever. Isn't that amazing? You ever watch all these commercials? You ever say, you know what they tell you to do about gambling? Gamble responsibly. Well, hallelujah. Y'all know what? I've decided I took that up. I did. I don't do it at all. That's responsible right there. Amen? Huh? Oh, listen. They drink responsibly. I got that in whoop too. I just don't drink at all. Amen. Huh? Why don't we just say murder responsibly? Now, if you're going to kill somebody, do it in a responsible manner. You'd look at me and say, you're a nut. Well, I'm telling you, all that other stuff will line up with that same thing too. Amen? I mean, if you're going to do that, well, commit adultery, but do it responsibly. Isn't that silly and ridiculous? But I'm telling you, that's the thinking. I'll just tell you, you're weak in your flesh. You cannot. You cannot, and you will not. You'll succumb to some things. I know, you say, oh, preacher, I'm stronger than that. I want to guarantee you, none of us in this room have that kind of strength. Amen? Not a one of you in this room. There are some things that will come your way, and when they come, you'll give in because you are weak. The only strength you can have, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's the only strength you got, what you get from him. Amen? Oh, you can't change anything because you ain't got strength. There's a weakness of your nature. Let me just tell you this. You're wrecked by your habits. Isn't it horrible about habits? I mean, it is. We get into habits. You talk to people and they say, well, you know, that's just a habit I have. I mean, and there we are. We was talking about little Debbie today. Somebody say amen right there. Yeah. Well, that can be a bad habit, can't it? Well, I'm down to one a day. That's still a bad habit. Let me just tell you. Whatever it may be, you can get into some habits. And there are some other things. The chains of habits are very strong. Whenever you get into a habit of doing whatever it is, it becomes just seemingly built into your nature and you're going to do it. I mean, as I say, all of these things that they tell you to do it responsibly, and the world tries, oh, you can handle it. No, sir. You ever see that? Man, I watch some sports and whatever, and they'll throw them things up. Right now, the betting thing is a big thing. But you know what it says? At the very end of those commercials, watch them. It'll say, have a gambling problem? Call 1-800, you know, whatever. Gambling problem? I ain't got no gambling problem because I didn't get started. Amen? But that's the way you get into a habit of things. And there it is. It's a strong, strong habit and hard to be. You don't have the strength to break that. Amen? You don't have the strength to. Amen. I tell you, when my daddy got saved, he quit drinking. He quit drinking. I mean, he was drinking. He'd drink over the weekends and he'd drink at a different time. And what? But when God saved him, he said the Lord took that from him. Amen. I've seen other folks go through some. I've seen people come up. I've seen them come up and put their cigarettes on the altar. You know, I've seen that. I mean, I'm not throwing anything at anybody about anything. But I'm just telling you, I've seen that. I know one time my dad-in-law was talking about some guy coming by, and he said, he was up there praying, and he put a pack of Winstons up there. And he said, "What's that?" He said, "Well, I'm giving my cigarettes to the Lord." And my dad-in-law looked at him and said, "Well, take them back and throw them away because he don't want them." Amen. Huh? I'm just telling you, brother, you and I sometimes, we don't have the strength to overcome some of those things. We just, those habits that get into us, and we are wrecked by those habits. Those strong chains of a habit. I want to tell you something else. We get wrapped up in the pleasure of our sins. The Bible tells us there is pleasure in sin for a season. It's there. There is. You cannot deny that there's pleasure in sin. There is pleasure there. But can I tell you, boy, the Bible tells us that Moses wanted to enjoy the fellowship and the worship with God more than the pleasures of sin for a season. And I'm telling you, you're not strong enough to outdo those pleasures. Because I'm telling you, I mean, you ask those drug addicts, boy, I got to get that needle in my arm because when I do, oh, everything becomes just peaceful and I get this euphoria and I get blah, 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 you know, all of that. Why? That's their pleasure. That's what they're getting out of it. They're seeking that pleasure. And when they get that, it wears off and you got to do it again. Aren't you glad when the Lord comes in and does something for you? He gives you something that'll last. He told that little lady by the well, "You drink this water, you'll thirst again. But if I give you what I've got, it'll be a well on the inside of you, and you'll never thirst again." Amen? Isn't that a blessing to know that? So there's the pleasure of you're wrapped up in the pleasure of your sins. And brother, let me tell you, soon you become warped by an appetite for sin. Your appetite becomes for sin and more sin and more sin. You know, we've been studying on the life of David. And what have we learned about David? David was a mess like the rest of us. And his biggest problem was women. That's one of his biggest problems was women. And you know what? He had so many women. He married so many different. But you know what he wanted? One more. He saw Bathsheba. Well, David, you've got, you know, ever how many wives and how many women there as your concubines. You got all this. Well, I want her. Well, that's crazy, isn't it? No, it wasn't to him. He was so just warped in his appetite that, brother, he had to have her as his bedmate for that night. What I'm telling you, sin will get a hold. You're not strong enough to get rid of it. So what does that mean, preacher? Well, let me just tell you one more thing. More thing. You don't have the sense, you don't have the strength, but you do have a Savior. You got a Savior. Amen. I'm telling you, first of all, man, can I tell you that in Christ Jesus, you and I have redemption. When you come to the Lord Jesus, He will redeem you. And you know what redemption is all about? Redemption is the story of buying you out of the marketplace of your sins and bringing you home with Him. Thank God, I'm glad Jesus is still able to redeem all sinners. Amen? He has given His life. Jesus said Himself that He came to give Himself as a ransom to save sinners. Amen? Listen, in Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 12, the Bible said, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Boy, aren't you glad Jesus paid the price that was required. He paid the price that was required. And He obtained redemption for me and for you. Amen? In Christ Jesus, you can have redemption. But in Christ Jesus also, you can find out that there is forgiveness for your sins. Jesus paid the price. But let me tell you something that's sweet. When you come to Him and He saves you, there is forgiveness. I've talked to people down through the years, and, you know, there's people who say, "Well, preacher, I've done this and that." And I mean, I've heard some horrible things, and maybe not what you and I would have thought was maybe so horrible, but it just stuck in. You know what gets us? The guilt. The guilt of our sins. That feeling of uncleanness. That feeling of I can't straighten it out. I'll never get it right. It'll never be any different. I've got this on me. I'm tagged with this guilt. And that's the way that we feel. And brother, can I tell you something? I'm glad the Holy Ghost will make you feel that way. When you're wrong, the Holy Spirit will come to you and he'll... Yeah, if some of you that's saved, you know this. I remember, man, and I've told you, before I got saved, I was all over the place. I was trying to get away from it. I'd move. I'd go from the back to the middle to the front. I'd go from one side to the other. I'd get all over the place. You know what? I could not escape that feeling of filthy guiltiness that was in my life. I mean, it was with me. I'd wake up in the morning. I'd go to bed at night. I'd try to shrug it off. I'd try to think of something else. I'd try to say, well, I'll do better. But, brother, can I tell you, it was still there. It's the feeling of guilt. But can I tell you, when Jesus comes in, woo, he's able to forgive you of all your sin. You know what the Bible tells us over in the book of Ephesians? Ephesians in chapter number 1, verse number 7, it's talking about Jesus. And it's talking about his blood. And it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And in Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 14, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Paul says the same thing twice. All he does in that second time is add that little word even. But isn't that amazing? You have the forgiveness of sin. How many times have I heard saints stand up and testify and say, preacher, the night that I got saved, the load of sin was on me. The guilt was almost unbearable. The things that I'd done were facing me. But when I came and I prayed, the guilt was all lifted. I felt light as a feather. I felt like I'd been clean. Amen. And isn't that what Isaiah said? He said, come now, let us reason together. He said, though your sins be like... He said, the Lord will make them white as the snow. What's he said? He'll get rid of all of that dirt in your life. He'll clean you up. There's a cleansing in the forgiveness that's offered to you through Christ Jesus, our Lord. There's a forgiveness. You can have redemption. You can have forgiveness. And then, let's just say last of all, there's salvation from your sin. I mean, he'll save you. Amen. Jesus still saved. Amen. Jesus still saves old sinners. Jesus is still changing lives. Jesus is still making a difference. Paul said, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. All the old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Jesus says in John 14 and 6, he told Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus is still your only hope of getting a change in your life. Preacher, can I change my life? Ain't a one of you in this room that can change your life. Not a one of you. Nobody in here. You can't change a thing. You're stuck until Jesus comes along and makes you different. Amen? Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leopard change his spots? Well, he said, then ye that are, those that are doing those things, he said, look, what I want you to do, they may also do good that are accustomed to doing evil. You're accustomed to wickedness. You're accustomed to evil. Listen, come and let the Lord change you. He'll change you. He'll make you different. He'll make you something you've never been. And brother, it'll be the best life you've ever had. Be the best thing that could possibly happen to you this morning. I was thinking about, there's a song. I'm just going to read you just a little bit of this. And this is just something that I found, and I got it on my phone. I just love this song. And it's a song that is, the name of it is Little Lady Down the Road Here. Sister Faith York wrote it or had a lot to do with it. And the name of it is The Half's Never Been Told. And it said, I've heard that his grace was amazing. And I've heard of his wonderful peace. I've heard that his love lifted sinners out of their wretched misery. But I didn't know this Redeemer. I was so lost and hell-bound till the day that I met him at Calvary. And there, neath the cross, I found the half hadn't been told. And the second verse says this. It says, I just wanted forgiveness for a pardon for all I had done. I didn't expect all of his blessings. Washed clean and made whole seemed enough. But there's more than I could ever imagine. Jesus is more precious than gold or than silver or gold. Jesus is everything to me, and he satisfies my longing soul. And the half hasn't been told. Oh, can I tell you, brother, that's the truth. I don't understand the half of it. And you know, when I came to him, that's all I was looking for. Lord, save me. I didn't want to die and go to hell. But you know what? After he saved me, he started doing stuff in my life. Wow! And I didn't understand what all it meant to be his. You can't change your spot, but you let him change your spots. You let him change your skin. You let him change and make you different. There'll be some things that'll come along with that. That's the honey bucket poured right out of heaven, right down upon you. Amen? Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing something this morning, if you would, whatever. But maybe you're here today, and I'm telling you, you don't have the answer for this. Can you? Can you change? No. The only answer there is you need Jesus to change these things in your life. The best thing you can do is come and present yourself and say, Lord, I'm tired of where I'm at. I want something different. Let's stand, if you would, this morning. God's speaking to your heart about something. I don't know. I don't know who's here. There ain't none of my business. All my business is preach the word of God. Let the chips fly where they will. And, buddy, whatever you need to do, you get ready to do it. What are we going to sing, Brother Ronnie?